That's a measurement of a spiritual gift. All right, number one, spiritual gifts are special abilities given to each believer by the Holy Spirit to minister to the needs of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God, Jesus, be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spirits. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Now, in verse 1, when he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, Paul doesn't want us to be ignorant either about spiritual gifts. And that the application for that today is there's a lot of phony baloney out in some of our churches today about spiritual gifts. So let's look at the truth about spiritual gifts. As I said in my introduction, these are special endowments given by God for us to do extraordinary work. Otherwise, we would not be able to do them if it weren't for the gift that God had imparted to us. Verse 3, therefore I tell you, no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, the way that you can tell if somebody is speaking inspired words or not, do they have the Holy Spirit working inside of them? Then you know that their words are inspired. Because if inspired speakers are inspired by the Holy Spirit, they listen to what Jesus Christ is telling them to say. Pastor, that's the greatest advice I had when I prepared sermons was, you tell the people what God is telling you. And you tell them what God is telling you. So only by the Holy Spirit can a pastor acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Number two, God creates a unique place in the body for every believer. Underline that word, every. Now, if you're a Christian, would you raise your hand today? If you're a Christian, would you raise your hand? Okay. I think that's everybody. Yes, everybody raised their hand. Congratulations. You have at least one spiritual gift. Okay. So if you didn't think you had a spiritual gift, you're wrong, because if you're a Christian, you have at least one spiritual gift. Look at verses 4 through 6. Notice the common theme that's in here. Now, there are different gifts. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts. But it's the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. Where do we get our spiritual gifts? From the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it is the same Lord we are serving. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it is the same God who does the work through all of us. So God's people receive many kinds of spiritual gifts. No gift is more important than the other one. As I said, this was a problem in the church in Corinth, because some of the believers may have been criticizing some people who didn't have the same gift that they had. Now, we just read, all gifts come from where? So if you criticize someone who doesn't have a spiritual gift, who, in fact, are you criticizing? Holy Spirit, right? And that's not pretty. Okay, let me just tell you that. That's not pretty to criticize the Holy Spirit. Notice that there's one source, God the Father, the Lord Christ, and the Holy Spirit. So the purpose, as I said before, and I can't emphasize this enough, does it glorify God? Does it build up the church? So, if it doesn't do these things, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, you're just making noise. You know, you're just making a bunch of noise. If you're not serving to glorify God and build up the church, you're just making noise. It's like the school teacher on the Charlie Brown episodes. You know, you're just not making any sense. All right? So, the reason they're gifts, why are they gifts? Why are they gifts? Why does he use the word gift? Because we can't earn it. There's nothing that we can do to earn a spiritual gift. There's nothing that we can do to work for a spiritual gift. If you think you want a spiritual gift, there's nothing you can do to work harder to get the gift, because who's already chosen the gifts for you? Holy Spirit. You see? Holy Spirit. So these are not chosen by us, and God alone distributes the gift just as He determines. The same thing is, we don't control our spiritual gifts. They're given to us by God. So each believer is responsible. Key word there. You have a responsibility to discover your gift and then to use that gift to glorify God and build up the church. Number three, the Holy Spirit decides which gifts each believer should have. Verse 7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. All right, how many gifts do you have? One. You have at least one gift. All right? The gifts were not given to us to cause division among believers. They were not given to us to cause jealousy who received a particular gift when somebody else didn't receive that gift, or to cause rivalry among other people. Now, those of you that have the gift of teaching, you're sitting out there right now, and you're thinking some of the same things that I thought when I sat in a class under teachers. Well, I wouldn't have said it that way, you know. Or I would have said it this way. Or I would have used a different way of saying it. Or I would have used different words of saying it. You know why those thoughts are going through your mind? Because you want to teach. You know, if you've got the teaching gift, you're like a caged animal, you know. You want to get out and teach, because you've got something to say, because God told you what to say. Always obey God when He tells you to say something. All right? Notice that God graciously gives spiritual gifts as a means of helping the entire church. So if a gift is not helping the entire church, guess what? It's not a gift. It's not a gift. They're to be used publicly to build up the church. So some of these gifts help those in the church to grow closer to Christ. Some of the gifts that you have are specifically designed to help other Christians. Other gifts are specifically designed to minister to non-believers. These gifts bring people into the church. Think about the gift of evangelism. Rarely do we evangelize a Christian, right? The reason we have evangelism is to talk to unbelievers. That brings them into the church. If you have the gift of encouragement, you are helping people be eased by the burdens that they have. You have the gift of encouragement. People with the gift of encouragement never meet a stranger. They don't. They're just constantly encouraging one another. Now, how many of the gifts are needed in the body of Christ? All of them. All of them. All the gifts are needed in the body of Christ. Verse 8. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. That's the spiritual gift of wisdom. Your second handout has a definition of the spiritual gift of wisdom. Now, to explain the different gifts, Paul gives a list. Now, this list is not exhaustive. This list is not conclusive. You have to combine several passages of Scripture to have a complete listing of the spiritual gifts. The Bible does not contain just one section that has a list of every gift. Now, who in here has the gift of wisdom? Okay, you got that wrong, because everybody, all believers have the gift of wisdom. All believers have the gift of wisdom. The wisdom is given to us by the Holy Spirit. But there are other people who have a divine enablement of the gift of wisdom. All right? How many of you have the gift of faith? Trick question. Every Christian's got the gift of faith. Okay? You have faith, but there's some believers who have just an extra enablement given by the Holy Spirit to do remarkable things in the church, the spiritual gift of faith. So, God's purpose in giving spiritual gifts has little to do with our self-esteem. has little to do with our self-esteem. You can't ask for a gift in order to feel more important. You can't ask for a gift in order to feel more recognized. But when you make it your goal to be available to God, then God can use you. There's no rock and roll song. Yeah, I listen to rock and roll, okay? And the lyric goes like this. Put me in, coach, I'm ready to play. Know that song? Put me in, coach, I'm ready to play. You know, that's what pastors and leaders in the church are looking for. They're looking for, just put me in, coach, I'm ready to play. Wherever you've got me to play, that's where I want to play. You know, in baseball, I was a utility infielder. I could play third, I could play short, I could play second base. And frequently in the game, when a pitcher would go out, you know, they'd move me from base to base in order to, because the pitcher wouldn't play at the base that I was playing, okay? Now, what if I told David, what if I told the coach, nah, I don't think I'll play third base today. I'd get the bench. Exactly right. I would get the bench. Now, what do you think God thinks when he asks you to serve and you say, I don't think so, God? So, if you're unsure, if you're uncomfortable, pray this way. God, make me more useful to you. Make me more useful to you. If my gift is weaker, if my gift needs shoring up, make it stronger. In fact, the first, you know, I became a Christian at age 9. I do have a teaching gift, okay? So did that mean at age 9 that I could go out and start teaching? No. I had to develop that gift. In fact, the first time a pastor assigned me to go teach, it was in a nursing home. And I went over to teach a Bible study in the nursing home. And you know, these residents were participating. They were asking questions. They were answering questions. And I felt really enthused. And I got back and told the pastor, you know, my teaching gift has been affirmed. And he said, well, you know they can't hear. You know? Now, that pastor did not have the gift of encouragement. Right? It would have been better had he not said anything than to say something to tear you down. Okay? Now, you may have served in a place before where you were beat up. Okay? It happens in churches. Okay? Churches shoot their wounded. They did. All right? You may have been discouraged by serving. Okay? But you have to remember who your boss is. Right? Who's your boss? God or Jesus? Holy Spirit? All the same guy, right? All right? That's who you're working for. In fact, when you serve the Lord, your retirement is out of this world. All right? So, pray for more usefulness. Pray for an opportunity to serve. You know, God, I've got this gift. Show me where I can serve. Observe how other people are serving with the same gift. All right? Show your results of your spiritual gift assessment to other Christians. Show them to your spouse or your adult children or a co-worker, any Christian that you know. Show them your results, your scores, and say, does this look like me? Do you think this describes me? They will tell you whether or not they agree with the assessment. And like I said last week, take it every year. Take your assessment every year to see if your gift changes position. Number four, ask those you've served with to help you discern your spiritual gifts and then practice the gifts even more often. And like I said, with the teaching gift, if you think you have the teaching gift, go teach. Go teach. Either you or the class will figure out very quickly if you have the teaching gift or not. He says to another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. And you have a handout with the definitions on here. So see, another person might be given the message of knowledge. This is the divine enablement to bring truth to the church, or bring a biblical insight to the church, a revelation, if you will. Now, true wisdom and true knowledge alone can only be found in Jesus Christ. But to some people, the Holy Spirit gives this extra enablement of the gift of knowledge. Verse 9. The Spirit gives a special faith to another. All Christians have faith, because it's the faith that brings us into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Some people have this special enablement of the gift of faith to act with confidence on anything that's going on with God. Now, play with me here, all right? You are all members of the finance committee in the church. Congratulations, all right? And you're sitting there thinking, I'm not good with the money, all right? But you're all members of the finance committee, okay? Now, imagine a finance committee, and everybody on the finance committee had the spiritual gift of faith. How would that finance committee operate? 135 million? Not a problem. Right? Not a problem. All right? You know? Imagine a finance committee where everybody has the spiritual gift of administration. What's the question they're going to ask? Well, what's it cost? You see? That's why you need a balance of people on a finance committee. Because people with the gift of faith, they're going to go like, hey, we get that mountain. It's not too big. Yeah, we can climb that mountain. People with the gift of administration, though, are more cautious. They want to look at the examination. In fact, when they split my job at another church, I was doing education and administration. They gave me a choice. I took education. The new administrator, I did not get along with because I had a Sunday school class growing. They had to meet on another part of the campus. And there were two little steps to get to the classroom. Now, just two steps. Now, Pat, how do you do on your walker with two steps?
Not well.
Not well. All right. And, you know, there were about six people that were either on walkers or canes. One was a 42-year-old man who had had a stroke. He was in a scooter. And I said to the administrator, I had to move this class. I need you to ramp these two steps. And her question was, well, what's it going to cost? And I'm like, well, who cares what it costs? You know, I've got a class that can't meet. All right? So you have to use your head and your heart when you're doing ministry because God gave you both of those. All right? Now, to another, the gifts of healing by that one Spirit. Now, healing and miracles are going to be very obvious if you have those gifts. A good friend of ours in Atlanta, Georgia, was going in for surgery Monday morning and asked the church to pray for him. So the deacons, we laid hands on him and prayed. He gets to the hospital Monday morning. The doctor said, let's just take one more x-ray. Okay? Nothing there. It's gone. It's gone. Now, did we heal him? No. God did the healing, right? Have another good friend in the hospital ask me to pray for him. He dies. Was he healed? Better believe it. He's now doing cartwheels in heaven. Okay? New body, a resurrected body, right? And most theologians believe we'll all be 33 again. All right. Now, some of you are thinking back to when you were 33 and go like, please, Lord, no. Let that be wrong. When I chaplained the football team, right before halftime, tight end blows his knee out. He was a Christian. His dad came and got me. They carried him to the locker room. His dad came and got me and said, would you lay hands on him and pray? Now, no one had ever asked me to do that. All right. So I turned to the tight end and said, how do you want me to pray? It's my senior year. It's the last game. Just let me finish the second half. So that's how I prayed. We're walking out for the second half. Two coaches walked by me and said, well, I guess it was a miracle. And I looked, and there he is, warming up, running up and down the practice field. Now, the next morning, he goes to the orthopedic. His ACL was torn. All right. So that taught me to pray more specifically. You know, not only finish the game, no torn ACL, no torn meniscus, no torn MCL, you know, no surgery, you know, no more pain. Pray very specifically. When I had Becky had oral surgery a couple of weeks ago. When I had oral surgery, I prayed for no pain, all right? And God answered my prayer. But my face was swollen. So it taught me no pain, no swelling, you know, no. So you have to pray very specifically. So God may put you in a situation where you're asked to pray for somebody, but remember, God is the one that does the healing. Now, to another, the ability to prophesy. So to some people, God gives the special ability to prophesy. This is a divine enablement to communicate God's word in an inspired way. Our pastor has that gift. Then he gives someone else the ability to know whether it's really the Spirit of God or another spirit that is speaking. That's called discernment. It's called discernment. People with the spiritual gift of discernment, they can tell the truth from a lie. They can tell the truth from the untruth. When believers have a special gift of discernment, they can tell if it's coming from God or if it's not coming from God. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, and another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. So there's a bunch of Texas pastors going to Brazil to do a week-long mission trip. And these Texas pastors were given a crash course in Portuguese. All right? And so one of these pastors was, you know, they have to truck in the sunlight, you know what I'm talking about? You know, I mean, he's way out, you know, deep in the woods, all right? Country. First night, he preaches with the translator. Now, you know, preaching with a translator is very difficult, all right? I saw Billy Graham preach with two translators. He had preached it to the first guy, and the second guy had translated to the third guy. Third guy had just communicated to the people. 2-hour sermon, because it took that long to get it down the line. All right. So this pastor goes out, first night, preaches with an interpreter. It's awful. It's awful. The second night, he preaches with the interpreter. It's even worse. The third night, he tells the interpreter, just hold on. And that pastor begins to preach in Portuguese. Okay? And his interpreter kind of looked at him, and he walked over and he said, you know, was I cussing? And he said, no, you know, you're fine. I mean, it wasn't perfect grammar, but you're getting the message across. Gives the invitation, floods of people come down the aisle. Next night, the same way. Last night, the same way. Preaching without an interpreter. So he's telling that story. And I said, say something in Portuguese. And I said, I couldn't tell you hello if I had to. See, God gives some people the ability to speak in a different language in order that the gospel can be understood. This is what happened at the Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Now, there's another tongue, and that's the prayer language, which is not used today. All right, and Paul gives a lot of cautions in 1 Corinthians 14 about speaking in tongues in the church. He gives rules, if you will. All right. Now, what do they speak in Kazakhstan?
Russian Kazakh.
Okay, Russian Kazakh. All right. So if you came up, brother, and started speaking in Russian, is there anybody in here that would be able to understand it?
Nine.
Okay. So how would that benefit the body of Christ? See, it wouldn't benefit the body of Christ. All right? It wouldn't benefit the body of Christ. Purpose of every gift, remember, is to help the body of Christ. Verse 11. It is the one and the only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Again, source of the gift is the Holy Spirit. He gives these gifts again. Notice the diversity of the gifts. But they're used for the same purpose. Different gifts, same purpose. Because the Holy Spirit alone decides which gift each person should have, there's no place for rivalry, there's no place for jealousy, there's no place for envy, none of that. Because God uses everybody in the community of Christ to accomplish His will. Any questions? If you were to take a test on spiritual gifts, would you pass? All right. I just have a personal word. This year has been very difficult for Becky and I, a number of reasons. Death in the family, And but probably the biggest struggle that we've had has been with our home in Mississippi, and trying to maintain two households. And so we begin to pray and ask God for a direction. And some of you know, Becky started substitute teaching in Prosper ISD. And they're, I don't know if you've been to Prosper lately, but they're opening 3 new schools and a new high school in 2 years. She's a retired high school choral director. All right, so they were begging her to take one of those positions. And so she explored it. When we moved from Texas, when she retired the first time, her certification lapsed. And in order for her to get recertified, it was going to require her to get CEUs, continuing education units. As long as you're teaching, those are very easy to get. In fact, the school systems, most of them that she's worked in, pay for those. But she would have had to go back to undergraduate school, and we didn't know what that would cost or the time that it would take. So she looked on she began looking for a job, and she looked on the Texas Choral Directors Association website, who not only advertise school positions, but they advertise private school positions and church positions. And so a church position came up that when I read the job description, I said, this is you. Now, what did she teach, remember? Choral music high school. This job is directing the 120-voice youth choir. Okay? She also has this unusual God-given, I say, ability to direct Broadway-type musicals, Sound of Music, Music Man. You know, we were driving down here. She won't do My Fair Lady again. And I'm disappointed, but, I'll get over it. So she called the minister of music and said, would you consider, because another qualification was church experience. Well, she served in a church as an unpaid volunteer, but never as a paid staff member. And she described her experience. He said, yes, we would love to get your resume. So she sent the resume, and then she found out there were 55 applicants from the East Coast to the West Coast. Now, I don't have a high gift of spiritual gift of faith, just to be honest with you. Okay? The reason I take my test every year is I keep hoping that it moves up a little bit, you know. But just to be honest, my spiritual gift of faith is not very high. And I thought, and I didn't tell her this, is that 55 applicants. Somebody's going to have church experience, you know. I mean, you're good, but, I mean, I didn't tell her this, you know, but there's no way. Well, then they narrowed it to 5, and she's one of the 5. Okay? And then they narrowed it to 2. Okay, her and a man from Minnesota. And so I'm thinking, are there anybody in here from Minnesota? I'm thinking Minnesota, Texas, you know, surely that will carry some weight, you know. And she wasn't born here, she just got here as fast as she could, you know. And so they asked, so she had the interview with the committee, and 2 of the members of the committee were high school seniors. So who do you think she focused on during the interview? Was the high school students. And I'm thinking parenthetically, the adults are going like, hey, we're here too, you know. Let us answer a question, yeah. The last test was to direct the youth choir. Okay, and so she and the other man directed the youth choir last Sunday. Monday she got the job. Now, and I'm not going to tell that publicly, but I will tell you that privately, because I don't want to proselyte you away from this church. Okay, but I will tell you privately where she's going. All right.